So, as we mentioned, Ed Wellman and Anthony Kafke making their way up to Lincoln College, where we'll be hopefully finding out more about the excitement that A-Level Results Day actually generates. So, Sarah Applewood doing a wonderful thing there, off with her family, and indeed Sproglets, to check out a whole range of other factors from that point of view. And now we welcome that man who has stepped into the breach so capably that I feel as though he's made this slot his own. Rather like Ricky Lambert coming on and scoring with his first touch of the ball, Arthur McKenzie is back with us. How are you, Arthur?
I'm fine this morning.
Brilliant. It's nice to see we don't have that time delay we had with Ian Lennox when we connected with him in Canada last night, where for some reason it took about 5 seconds before he could actually respond to anything we actually stated.
Oh dear, that's his brain, that wasn't the phone.
Do you know, Arthur, that did cross my mind, because we didn't have any problems whatsoever with Los Angeles or California, but, you know, go to Canada, it was just almost we were going through a different time zone. Still, never mind. Anyway, we talked obviously about that A-level results thing, etc. It's become something of a sort of annual scenario where you can guarantee that our colleagues in the media, and perhaps you might say Siren FM is guilty of this as well, as we head off to Lincoln College to find out, you know, all sorts of things that are happening there. Is there too much pressure on youngsters these days with A-levels, or is it a case
I think there's far too much pressure on kids generally, but especially with examinations and whatnot. It's ridiculous. I think that and when you put people under pressure, it creates problems down the line, you know, so you don't know what it's... I mean, all these people are getting wonderful grades, etc., but there's no jobs for them. And at the end of the day, you know, what does that say? All right, we'll go to university. They go to university, they come out with a lovely degree, there's still no jobs. So there's got to be something better, I think. It should be... I don't know the answer. All I know is that when I was at school, it was an awful lot simpler. And the only people that got through the university were really, really the top people.
We like to think that's the same today, actually, Arthur, but never mind. National Apprenticeship Services are obviously gearing up for their busiest day ever, and we'll be speaking to Karen Woodward from the National Apprenticeship Service scheme. A lot of folks saying they'd prefer to do apprenticeships. From your own point of view, because obviously you kind of, your career path took you from athletics and UK champion discus throwing through to the police force, through to obviously your fantastic writing scenario. Was there ever a time when you sort of thought, well, I'll do an apprenticeship somewhere, or was that...
No, what I wanted to do when I was at school, I actually wanted to go into forestry. But I wasn't intelligent enough to get through the exams. I mean, I would probably have been a good forester, because I like that type of life. But I never got the opportunity because I didn't have the qualifications.
Interesting side of things for that. I mean, we were talking to Jane Clark earlier from the Aintree Grand National Museum, and she was saying that doing an apprenticeship is really important to be able to actually go through and, in essence, pay your dues. Again, is that something which you would sort of encourage, or do you think, no, it's rather like Premiership footballers, you should actually have the millions passed on to you as soon as you get through your 15th birthday?
No, I think you should serve an apprenticeship. I mean, how many times do you see little pieces of furniture and say, that's the apprentice piece, the little chest of drawers or something like that? And they learn the trade. The first joiner I know actually had a box with him, and he said that was the first job I had to do, was make me toolbox. You know, and I think that grade takes you right through. And you look at some of the superb buildings, the woodwork that's been, without fancy tools and all the rest of it, there's been skill involved. And I haven't been involved in doing a little bit of this myself. When you're working with a true craftsman, it's a joy.
It's much like people have said about working with you when you're writing their scripts, Arthur. You know,
so, that would
from that point of view. Come on, let's give a shameless plug. When does Harrigan receive its Tyneside premiere?
It's the 16th of September.
At the Gala Theatre. Fantastic stuff, etc. Well, that's brought us around to the time where we need to invite you once again to cast your critical ear over Cameron Tilbury's musical choice from MapleStar Music and Media, which, as we heard yesterday, is now fully international with offices in Nashville, Canada, and shortly Kent. Yes, across the border into Kent as well. Amazing. This is Kelly Vone. It's Waiting Tables. Are you ready for 4 minutes worth of musical criticism, which I know people, you know, they hang in trepidation. It's forget Simon Cowell. It's the Arthur McKenzie view on whether this is worthwhile pursuing. So here's Kelly, just for yourself.
I want to go, man. With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you. Okay, Arthur, what did you make of Kelly Vogel?
I quite like that. It was a bit shrill, but I quite liked it.
A bit shrill, but he quite... Very good. Now, the listener, obviously, to Siren, and indeed sirenonline.co.uk and Southside Broadcasting, very keen to actually find out last week after you, let's face it, you vented, Arthur. You know, you were a bit concerned about the amount of time you actually spent on the telephone to various agencies to sort out a number of bits and pieces as you moved. Has it all ended happily?
Not really, no.
Oh, dear. Here was I thinking you'd actually got everything sorted out.
I'm sitting there in your house here with stuff lying everywhere and still getting messages, conflicting messages from the gas board. As far as the wolf concern, it's gone well. Did it? I'm sitting in a little child's bedroom which is covered with little birds and little butterflies, and there's a giraffe, and it's a real joy, this giraffe, because it's got all the heights of the different people that lived in this. Little girls and little boys that lived here. You know how it's on the wall? It's
Yes, yeah.
There it is on the wall. It's wonderful.
Well, a bit of history, a bit of living history.
Well, it lifts your heart a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, there you go. So, well, it hasn't quite worked out, but it is working out. So that's important.
Well, we've got gas and electricity, but I don't know who's paying for it.
Well, don't worry. That's the key thing. You know, make sure that everything else is sorted through on that basis.
Yeah.
And as ever, we need to ask you for some Mackenzie words of advice and wisdom. Actually, before we do that, because we'll come ahead to that, we've just come out of, once again, Mo Farah doing the business, and hopefully we'll do the business again very shortly. Have you been following the European Championships?
I have spasmodically, yes. It's pretty good. Mind, there's not a lot of people in the audience, in the crowd, is there? They don't seem to be able to sell the tickets out there.
Yeah, is this part and parcel that they haven't learned the lessons of Sebastian Coe's London, or is it just
I don't know. I think it's probably a lot of repression going on there. Mm. I think that there's more important things in our life.
Good heaven, more importance than athletics? Surely not. Any particular performances that have stood out from the point of view? I mean, I think certainly the notion of Christina Ohurugu, the notion of never give up and always lean forward, that was critical.
That was quite incredible, that. I mean, I still think the other girl won, but I mean, the clock doesn't lie, does it? But I think it's probably the angle you're at, you know, but that was fantastic. I think the heptathlon girl, a friend of mine coaches her, and he did warn me about her about 2 years ago. He says, look out for this girl coming. And I thought she did fantastic. And I think she's a real star for the future.
You obviously composed the quintessential biography of a certain Steve Black, legend in his own
right. No, not Steve Black. No, a lad called Mike Holmes.
Oh, right. No, indeed. But you did write the Steve Black biography, did you not?
Oh, Yes.
It's fine. But with respect to that, obviously Johnny Wilkinson's career continues to grow from strength to strength.
Absolutely fantastic.
And do you think in terms of that sort of positive motivation here, do you think that's always important for athletics? Do you see that time and time again that it's the?
Oh, it's critical. The thing is, you know, that if you have a bad throw or a bad run or you feel off, it takes you below ground. Whereas all it needs is a few kind words and a pat on the back and a sugar lump, and you feel great. You need somebody there. You do need somebody there just to give you that little bit of a bolster. Your wife, it could be a wife, it could be anybody. But, I mean, having it performed at that level, I know just how critical your mind is, you know.
I'm just writing down a pat on the back and a sugar lump as the ideal quote that's sort of coming through on that base, which is very, very important from that point of view. So, Arthur, any sort of final thoughts of wisdom or sort of general pats on the back or indeed sugar lumps for either parents or indeed youngsters who are receiving their A-level results this week or indeed their GCSEs or O-levels or whatever they're referred to next week?
Well, I think enjoy the day. It'd be a sense of relief for a lot of them. They put a lot of hard work in, and their parents will be giving them bikes, motorbikes, cars, they'll be doing whatever. I got a budgie when I passed my exam.
Was it a live budgie or was it stuffed?
Alive.
Oh, that's all right, because you never know.
I call it joy, believe it or not.
Very good.
One day, years later, I came home from work, and it was dead in the cage.
Oh, no.
So I picked it up and threw it on the fire, and my mother nearly collapsed.
Right. So no chance of a visit to the taxidermist for Jerry the ex-budgie.
No.
Never mind. Okay, well, if you do get a budgie, do let us know on Siren 107.3 FM. Just call us on 07797-800-716. That's 07797-800-716. Or indeed, just get in touch, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. That's if you have actually had a budgie as a prize in all sorts of ways. I would have thought that surely the Protection League Against Cruelty to Budgies might sort of have something. A bit like goldfish, you can't win those anymore. But budgie regards. Joey the budgie. Ever thought of writing a little story, you know, the life and times of Joey the budgie? And how he was finally cremated.
No. Oh,
something we can actually look to.
No.
Have you had a reason to
interest? Kept the fire going all night, though.
Oh, well. clearly a very eco-friendly budgie.
Oh, I'll be well-fed.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic
yeah,
chat with us today?
Yeah, very enjoyable,
brilliant.
Alex. Yes.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again next week?
Yes.
Arthur McKenzie will return. Yay!